just explain a little bit. I'm Jared Johnson. I'm in charge of crop variety testing program at Colorado State University. And this presentation is joint work that's been done by myself and Scott Haley, who is our wheat breeder in Colorado. The third author on this is Federico Pardina Malbran, who's a graduate student. And in this lively discussion between the wheat breeder and the extension agronomist, and I'm sure you all have wheat breeders and extension agronomists who agree perfectly on everything, but that's not the case, and the older we get, it seems like the less that we agree on everything. So unfortunately for Federico, he's a graduate student, and we're both co-advising him, so he's kind of caught in between. I've subtitled this presentation, Application Probabilities to Enhance Interpretation of Variety Trial Information. You know, about 12 months out of the year, we are moving people and managing vehicles and doing budgets and attending meetings and so on. So the 13th month of the year, we get to do something that's for fun. And so this is fun for me, and it's something that I've thought about for quite a long time. I've probably walked about 6,000 variety trials last 20 years, and so this keeps coming back. So I want to talk a little bit about the problem as I see it, and then five different applications that I think probabilities might be interesting to use. Part of the problem is just this. If you'll see there, these are average yields for the last 47 years in Colorado for dryland winter wheat production. And don't even bother to try to draw a line through that. I've seen it, and I saw one yesterday from Kansas, and it came out pretty much the same thing. And what is very remarkable, if you'd see there in the last 2 years, 2000 and 2006 and 2007, there's a 100% difference in average yields in this state. So if you're a wheat breeder and you're looking at this and you think you're going to have a successful career trying to breed for improvement in yield in Colorado, then you might think again, and this is kind of the frustration that Scott Haley has. So to try to, the other part of the problem, or part of this problem, trying to come up with a possible solution of how we might make advances for breeding for yield improvement, is that one alternative is it can't be done, and the second one is if it can be done, then maybe if we have a large enough sample and we're able to measure standard deviation as well as means, then maybe through the probabilities and combining mean and standard deviation that we could have an idea over long term. So in this, I've just created a sample data set so that you can kind of get your head turned around to look at probabilities where we have equal means for these two varieties and different standard deviations. So just looking again, refreshing your memory on how this might look on a graph, is on the y-axis is nothing important, and so it almost be better not to have it. Everything is measured in terms of, in this case, bushels per acre on the x-axis. So your mean, of course, is the highest point on that curve, and then the spread of that curve is for that standard deviation. And you'll see here that when we put both varieties out, of course, the racehorse, what I've called the racehorse, has the largest standard deviation, so the largest amount of spread around the mean. And then just to point out that they both have the same mean value and different standard deviations. And so then this is a fun part, then we can start comparing cumulative probabilities of yielding above certain yield levels. And so you'll see there in this example that plow horse has largest area under that curve at 59.8 bushels to the acre, if you want to compare the two varieties. And then if you look at the two varieties at another yield level at 60.3 bushels to the acre, you'll see that racehorse has a higher probability, cumulative probability. So which variety? Well, it depends. If you're a producer and you think that you might be below average yields in that year, and you might want to select the plow horse. If you think that you might be above average yields for that year, you might want to select the racehorse. If wheat's $9 a bushel as opposed to $3 a bushel, you might want to risk one scenario or another. So I don't have time to go through this, but this is actually the way that we're computing the standard, or the computing our cumulative distribution that we'll be talking about later. Just to check your calculations there at 60 bushels to acre, which was the mean of both of those, you'll see you actually do come up with 50% probability. Oops. Now, I'd like to use probabilities to compare performance of sometimes meaningful levels of a trait, but not at mean levels, which is one of the usefulness, I think, of probability approach. So for this, this is an example. We have on-farm tests where we give 100 pounds of seed of each of 4 to 6 different varieties to 20 to 22 different farmers in eastern Colorado, ask them to plant them out with their own equipment, and they harvest them with their own equipment, and then we come by with a weigh wagon, grab a grain sample, and have an on-farm testing program. So this is just the distribution of those on-farm tests out in eastern Colorado. And the trait that I'd like to look at here are two of our current Clearfield wheats, herbicide-resistant wheats. Above was released 4 or 5 years ago, and Bond was released a couple of years ago. And you can see there that the average test weight, that there's a difference of about 0.8 bushels to the acre, or pounds per bushel, whereas there's a 12% difference in cumulative probability of producing over 60 pounds to the acre. So this is the case where the mean comparison of the means may or may not mean a lot to different growers, but the probability of having having over 60 pound test weight may be a more meaningful comparison of varieties. And so then I'd like to use this same data set, look at probabilities, make inferences about absolute expected performance levels by comparison to relative expected performance levels that we get from our small plot replicated trials. And so I want to introduce another data set. This is a map of Colorado again with our 11 different small plot replicated variety trials and our uniform variety performance trial. And so then if we look at these, some of the results there, the average in 2007, the average Colorado wheat yield was about 41 bushels to the acre. For the 6 varieties we had in the on-farm testing program is about 43 bushels to the acre, and the average yield in our small plot replicated trial was about 56 bushels to the acre. So if you look down there for these two varieties, Hatcher and Ripper, which are our most recent hard red winter wheat releases, you'll see there that based upon the mean and standard deviation from our on-farm tests, the probability of having the average yield of these varieties from our small plot replicated trials is about 28% and 18%. Whereas to get 56 bushels to the acre equals 56 bushels to the acre or more on the small replicated trial data, you'll see that the probabilities are about 76% and 40%. And then, since if you'll remember back to the first slide where there's so much annual variation, then working together with Scott Haley, he provided me all of the data that he had on two different varieties. So this is again the distribution of those testing locations, and the comparison here is again between Hatcher and Ripper. Ripper was released a couple of years after Hatcher, but was in replicated trials from 2002 to 2007, 6 years, while Hatcher was in replicated dryland trials from for 8 years. Number of observations that are there are 356 by comparison to 245 for the two different varieties. And the mean yield of Hatcher over all of those trials is slightly higher, about 1.3 bushels an acre higher. And there is, however, Ripper that had the lower yield as a lower standard deviation. So when you look at the yield probability of 25 bushels or higher, Ripper has a slightly higher probability of having that yield of 25 bushels per acre or more, whereas Hatcher has a higher probability of yielding 55 bushels per acre or more. Now I'd kind of like to look at joint probabilities when you want to select on two different criteria. And as you might imagine, I'm trying to look at if you're wanting to choose a variety based upon probability of 60-pound test weight, or based upon a yield, then the bottom line there gives you probability for these two varieties, Bond CL and above, again, our Clearfield wheat varieties. And you'll see there that if they were to, the probability of obtaining their average yield, which aren't exactly the same, there's about 8/10 of a bushel per acre difference there. But when combined with probability of 60-pound test weight, you'll see that above has a combined joint probability of about 5% higher cumulative probability than for Bond CL. So that's it.
The question is for Gary. Do you publish probability data, or how do you extend the information? Does this go out with the variety trial information on the web?
No, actually, with the exception of 60-pound test weight, it hasn't. I just started this last year of presenting the probability of having 60-pound test weight for variety comparisons in our annual report, but haven't worked it up into yield, and haven't worked it up into joint probabilities.
What's the economic incentive between 60 and 58-pound test weight?
For hard reds, I mean, 58 is probably our target, so we're not going to get penalized below that. And like you know, the market is such that these are targets that, you know, in years of short supply, then the targets are a little more flexible. And when we have heavy supplies like this year, test weight's the most important thing. So this is an example. It could be something like malting barley, where you don't want to have more than 12%. Protein. It's just an example.
Gary, have you tried to include some of the data from the breeders' trials in making these assessments, or is there a inherent problem with doing that because extension data is always better than
breeders? Well, it is always, no. You know, the problem that we have is we can only look at a few number of lines in our on-farm tests. It's important when you get something, you know, breeder will release a variety, well, you know, the yield is real good and I know the producers want it, but the test weight's a little light, how bad is it going to be? So when you put it out in on-farm tests and you have a chance to do that. But one of those slides there where I had the 345 observations, that's all of Haley's data, all of our data, combines his breeder's plots as well as the uniform variety test.
Any more questions for Gary?
Thank you for coming.